You're never going to get out of debt. You're never going to solve that problem because money is not your problem.
Dr. Tony Evans says we don't need to find more cash. We need to feel more convicted.
And until God heals and God reverses that thing, there will be no change.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Who wouldn't want revival? A fresh start in your relationship with God, new enthusiasm, new energy, more of the Lord's power in your life. Well, today, Dr. Evans explains that there are some requirements for revival and spells out how we can meet them. Let's join him.
Of all the revival passages in the Bible, the one that is most known and most loved, and probably the clearest, is in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, particularly verse 14, which we'll get to in a moment, has become the standard prescription for revival, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. This series is for those who need to be restored. And even if you don't need to be restored, you need to know what the prescription is because you get the right one for somebody else to take. Solomon has built the temple for the Lord. In chapter 6, which I'd love for you to read over the course of the week, verses 12 through 42, he prays a dedication prayer, like we have dedication of buildings and dedication of homes and dedication of babies. In chapter 6, beginning verse 12, all the way through the end of the chapter, he prays this prayer of dedication, where he dedicates the house of God, the temple, to the Lord, his dedicatory prayer. He says, God, this is built for you. This is your house. In the Old Testament, the temple became the central place from which God dealt with his people. He did it in Israel from the temple. The temple is called his house. It was where the glory of God, his manifest presence, was resident in the midst of his people. It was in the temple. The glory cloud came down and resided inside of this magnificent building that housed the representative and actual presence of God. I want to clarify that. No building can hold God. In fact, the Bible is so clear on this that God is beyond the world itself. Now, this was not one you can think about too long because you'll jump out of somebody's high-rise window. That God is greater than the sum total of his creation. Don't just accept it. Don't meditate on it. All right? God is greater than the sum total of his creation. In other words, God is bigger than the universe he made. So that's a staggering concept of God, which is why it will take eternity to get to know him, because of his inexhaustibility. He is inexhaustible. In other words, to him there is no end. We call that infinitude. The infinity of God. We are finite. Finite means limited. God is infinite. Without limitation, there is no end to his scope. So therefore, it will take eternity to discover him. But don't worry, you'll have eternity to do just that. So God has to manifest his presence in a localized, representative way. And he did that in the temple, the house. That would be his point of contact with his people. The house of God was viewed as a house of sacrifice. I'm going into this because you can fully appreciate the other things I want to say when you understand this house. It was a house of sacrifice. Because once Adam and Eve sinned, immediate contact with God was no longer possible. Now it had to be mediated contact with God. In other words, you couldn't go directly to God once Adam sinned because of God's perfection. You had to be led into his presence. And thus the sacrifices were the mediating point that addressed the sin question that allowed God's people into God's presence. Now, we don't have goats and lamb and sheep and bulls that we have to sacrifice because of the final sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But even the final sacrifice of Jesus Christ allows mediation to occur. That is a point of access to God, because only in heaven, where there is no sin, will we have immediate access to God. Now we have mediated access to God, which is why we pray in Jesus' name, because it is through his sacrifice that access to God is granted, and only through that sacrifice. So this house of sacrifice, house of God, was the place of contact so that God's people could get to God. And that leads us to this issue of revival, beginning with verse 12. The Lord appears to Solomon at night and says to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. Verse 13, if I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. All right? Here we have the reason why revival is needed. Revival is needed because God is no longer working for his people. God is working against his people. So what you have to determine is whether the things I am going through are things that God has set up against me. Every negative thing that happens is not God working against you. Some things happen because sin is in the world and it's just there, or there are other evil people. But there are some things, and more than we would care to admit, that happens where God is working against us because we have departed from him. When God is working against you, it is because there has been a spiritual decline that has gone unaddressed. The second thing, coupled with that thing, is that the circumstances not only never change, but they keep getting worse. Now, Job's circumstances got worse, but he was not in a state of spiritual decline. Therefore, it was a test. But when there is a state of spiritual decline with an increase, that no matter what you do, things don't get better, then you have to seriously raise the question whether I'm not dealing with circumstances, whether I'm dealing with judgment. Because unless the spiritual gets addressed, then God will not reverse how he is relating to us. So we must connect our problems with spiritual issues, either judgment and discipline or trials that he brings to take us further and develop us further. Now, then God gives how to turn it around, revival. How we can turn it around. I would like to submit to us today that there are many things in our lives we can turn around. He says in verse 14, when I've done all this negative stuff to make life miserable, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. One of our problems when we want things changed in our circumstance is we don't necessarily want God, but we want what God can do for us. We want his benefit, we want his help, we want his deliverance, but we don't want him. He says in verse 19, but if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them. Verse 22, and they will say, because they forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who brought them from the land of Egypt, and they adopted other gods and worshiped them and served them, therefore he has brought all this adversity on them. The reason why he has to tell them to seek my face is because they're seeking all these other folks' face too. It's called idolatry. Idolatry is when you add other gods to the true God. Whenever you go outside of the true God to get your needs met, you have now adopted an idol. So an idol can be an occupation, it can be money, an idol can be a person, an idol can be any unauthorized location. God says, if you want revival, you must seek my face, meaning don't seek the face of idols. In other words, don't go outside of me. Here it is. The moment you go outside of me, you cancel me. So a lot of us are praying to a God that we cancel out by either lack of humility or failure to seek a relationship, his face. Then he says, turn from your wicked ways. The way God cites our wickedness is by bringing us its consequences. The problem is when we don't see that the consequence is tied to the wickedness, and therefore the wickedness goes unaddressed. So what God does is he brings negative circumstances until we get the message. He says, until you address what he calls the wicked way, that is your course of life, independent of me. This involves two things. It involves acknowledgement and then action. Acknowledgement. You must agree with God that the way is wicked. And when I don't call it what God calls it, I have not freed God to address it. You have freed God up to do three things. All of this is in verse 14. He says, when these people humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked way, number one, I will hear from heaven. I will hear from heaven. So why do you need to know that? Because just because you're talking doesn't mean God's listening. Ooh, did you follow that? He says, I won't hear until they've humbled and prayed, sought my face, turned from my wicked way. Then I will hear. Therefore, a lot of our prayers are hitting the ceiling and bouncing back. They're not even making it to heaven, which is why they're not being answered. Heaven never heard it. And I don't mean heaven doesn't know it. God knows everything. It's heaven's not paying attention to it. You talking. And you might be talking for hours, but you talking because you have not taken the prescription. You're like me saying, my tooth hurt, my tooth hurt, my tooth hurt. Oh, my tooth hurt. Oh, I shouldn't have eaten that candy. It's making my tooth hurt worse. Oh, I shouldn't have eaten that sugar. It's making my tooth hurt worse. Oh, my tooth hurt, my tooth hurt. My... Now, I got a prescription here, but I'm going around talking about my tooth hurt, my tooth hurt. I'm going and asking you for advice. What do you do when your teeth hurt? I'm doing all this stuff because my tooth hurt, my tooth. Now, the doctor has written me a prescription. He said, if you have a problem with your teeth, I have solved your problem. Until I take that prescription to the pharmacy for them to fill it, and I take it, I'm making a lot of noise that the solution is not hearing because I have not acted in concert with the prescription. He says, if you want heaven to hear and to change the scenario, you've got to take the prescription. And he says, this prescription will allow him to hear from heaven.
When Dr. Evans continues our message in a moment, he'll tell us more about how we go about fulfilling that expectation. Earlier this year, thousands came out to theaters to see Tony's movie, Kingdom Men Rising, a powerful look at how families, churches, and neighborhoods can change when men become the leaders God intended them to be, living under God's authority. Now, that compelling film is available on DVD. Get a group of men together or gather your family for a life-changing movie experience. You'll learn about the special relationship between Tony and his father, Arthur Evans, and hear from NFL greats Tony Dungy, Troy Vincent, and Tim Brown, along with best-selling author Priscilla Shire and others. Get your copy of Kingdom Men Rising at TonyEvans.org or call our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222 day or night. When you do, be sure to request your copy of Tony's current 14-message teaching series, Revive Us Again. For a limited time, it's our gift to you when you make a donation to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. If you've ever felt like your faith is about to flicker out, this collection of messages will teach you how to rekindle your relationship with the Lord. Get your copy before this special offer runs out. Visit TonyEvans.org or call our 24-hour resource center at 1-800-800-3222. That's 1-800-800-3222. Well, right now, Dr. Evans is back with more of today's lesson. Let's join him.
Benefit number two is I will forgive their sin. There is nothing like the feeling of having your slate wiped clean. Forgiveness is when God wipes clean your slate. Have you ever used a calculator, punched in the wrong number, and then pushed clear? Guess what you get to do? Start all over again. What God does when the prescription has been taken is hear from heaven and punches clear on the calculator of your life so that that sin is no longer an impediment to his answer, response, or interaction with you. He has now been freed up to pay attention to you because the thing that is getting in the way has now been addressed. It doesn't mean you still don't struggle. It doesn't mean that you still don't have problems. But it means that you have tangibly demonstrated your seriousness by your action and not by your discussion. He will hear from heaven. He will forgive your sin. And then he gives the third thing. He says, and heal their land. Wait a minute. Why does their land need healing? Because verse 12 and 13 says, I jacked it up. I messed it up. It needs healing, and only I can heal it because I'm the one who messed it up. I sent the pestilence. I sent the drought. I sent the circumstances. Here it is. When revival occurs, heaven pays attention, the sins of God's people are forgiven, and you know you're in the middle of a revival because now healing is occurring in the lives of God's people and even overflowing, the Bible says, into the broader world. The problem is that many of us need, watch this, spiritual healing to take place so that we see its visible repercussions. Watch this. Some of us need financial healing. That's a physical thing, money, finances. But if it's due to spiritual decline, and God is not going to bring healing, because every time you pay something off, he's going to let something else break down. Every time you try to fix something up, he's going to let it break through. There's going to be the interest just keeps piling up, no matter how much overtime you make, because there's spiritual decline. You don't understand. You're never going to get out of debt. You're never going to solve that problem because money is not your problem. God jacking you up is your problem. And until God heals and God reverses that thing, then there will be no change in your relationship. If you are refusing to fulfill your biblical role as a husband, biblical role as a wife, refusing to confess your sin in that role, then all of the vacations in the world and all of the nice birthday presents and that's not going to fix anything because the spiritual issue was never addressed. Unless the spiritual issue is addressed, the healing in the stuff you are feeling and that's messing with you, you won't ever see take place. He says, I will bring healing to their situation. The reason why Israel is in conflict today and will continue to be in conflict is that it refuses to submit to God's Son, and therefore the land stays in conflict. Well, what is true of the land in the Old Testament is true of the life in the New Testament. There are certain things you have to go to for God for yourself, okay? Because you're God's house, and you have things you need him to do in your land called your life. There are other things you could never get by yourself. One of the reasons why God wants individual temples to also participate in the collective temple called the church is that if you have an 8-cylinder need, but you're a 4-cylinder saint, you need to pick up 4 more cylinders. That's why in Acts chapter 12, I believe it is, the Bible says Peter was in prison. He couldn't get out. And it didn't say, and the church gathered together to pray. And when the church gathered together to pray, it says angels intervened and shook Peter loose out of the prison through an earthquake that broke off his shackles. It says because the people of God added more cylinders to the situation. So there's some things you can get on your own, but there are other things you can't get on your own because it's bigger than you. That's why you need the body of Christ. Let me tell you something else. If you are unwilling to go to bat for another saint that has a need, then don't be surprised that God doesn't respond to you when you have yours, because you are so selfish that I'm only going to use the church when I have a need, but I'm not going to be part of the church to battle when somebody else has a need. Then don't be surprised that God turns you down because you think you're an only child in the family of God. No, no. It's our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So the issue today for revival is to follow the prescription, because the doctor knows what works. Don't come shucking and jiving and operating up there in the ethereal realm where the Holy Ghost don't even know what you're talking about. You're just so vague. You know how we do in the morning? We step on the scale because the scale tells us what we weigh. But a lot of us don't want to deal with what the scale's going to say. So what we do is we don't step on it right. We step on it leaning to the side, or we let it start below the zero so it'll show lost weight. And somehow shucking and jiving and punking the scale is going to change the reality of how much we've eaten and how fat we really are. You got to let the scale tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God, so you can deal with reality. Don't be punking God. Don't be talking about, oh, bless Heavenly Father way up in heaven. We praise your name and you're a great God, and you're so high, we can't get over you so low, we can't get under you so wide, we can't get around it. You're a balm in Gilead, you're a bright morning star, you're the rose of Sharon. You punking God. Say, God, I'm jacked up, messed up, here's the line, A, B, C, and D, and I need you to intervene in my situation and revive me again. Stop punking God, come clean so that he can begin to heal the life and transform the life, and so he can revive us again.
It's hard to come clean with the Lord when you feel like you've fallen so far for so long that you'll never find your way back. But you can, and Dr. Evans will come back in a moment to tell you how. No matter how long you've known Jesus, it's vital to keep that relationship healthy and growing. But if you've lost some of the richness of your faith recently, Tony's current series is the perfect antidote. It's titled Revive Us Again, and as I mentioned earlier, all 14 full-length messages in this two-volume set are yours with our thanks when you make a donation to help us cover the cost of keeping Tony's teaching on this station. Visit us today at tonyevans.org to make your contribution and request before this special offer runs out. Again, that's tonyevans.org, or call our 24-hour resource center at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our team members help you. Again, call 1-800-800-3222. While scientists talk about global warming, the spiritual climate, especially in our country, seems to be cooling off fast. Tomorrow, Dr. Evans will talk about how that trend can be reversed. Right now, though, he's back with this final word.
Do you feel like you're too sinful, too flawed, too rebellious, that you fail too much for God to ever forgive you? Guess what? You are a perfect candidate for salvation. Jesus said that he didn't come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance and salvation. So if you're a big sinner, you've got a bigger Savior. If you go to Jesus Christ now, carry the boatload of sins with you to the cross, acknowledge him to be your Savior, acknowledge your sins needing to be forgiven, and trust him to do the forgiving that you desperately desire. He promises he will forgive you, give you eternal life, and offer you the free gift of salvation. I don't care how big your basket of sins are. carry them to Jesus. He's ready to empty them for you.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.